Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. A weird weekend of practices for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, at St. Vincent, we've come to expect intense, competitive, physical practices, and that's really what we've seen for the past week or so. That's not what we saw this weekend. Instead, the pads came off on Saturday after that Friday Night Lights practice. They went back to practicing in t-shirt and shorts like we saw them do the first couple days of camp. And the pads came back on Sunday, but it was a rain-delayed practice that started late, then had to be delayed for thunder in the middle of it. They came back out, ran a couple drills, but just a shortened practice overall. So a very strange weekend of practices, unlike what we had seen prior. But we still do have a lot to go over today. And let's start with the depth chart, which got released over the weekend. Yeah, largely, this depth chart is completely meaningless. I know some sites have tried to report, oh, this guy is here on the depth chart. Or, hey, look, the Steelers only released this because the NFL mandated that they had to, right? You know, at this point in the preseason or during training camp, you know, the NFL wants each team to release their first depth chart of the season. I don't think the Steelers put a whole lot of time and effort into this one. They have Terrell Edmunds listed as a free safety, and not only a free safety, but the fourth string free safety. I mean, first of all, Edmunds has been playing strong safety all camp, and he's certainly not the fourth string. He came in after Burnett got hurt. James Washington listed as the fifth string wide receiver too. I mean, you just go over this depth chart, and you can clearly tell it does not represent what we've seen on the field. AB and Cam Sutton are your only two listed punt returners. When Quadri Henderson is, you know, not only is he a punt returner, it's the only way he's going to make this roster is as a punt returner. At this point, I would say don't pay attention too much to where guys are listed on that depth chart. Now, if you are interested in what is the pecking order at this point, you know, I think we all are, right? Where does Jalen Samuels fit in the pecking order at running back? Where does James Washington fit? You know, where do some of these guys fit? I would say, you know, pay attention on Thursday to not just how many reps certain guys get, but when those guys see those reps. The earlier on would seem to be the better, right? Because the earlier on in the game means the coaching staff has more faith in that player. So I would say pay attention to when Jalen Samuels gets on the field. And really at running back, just kind of what is the pecking order beyond James Conner? You have to figure Conner is probably going to get some reps in the first quarter of that preseason game. Who's the next running back to come in after James Conner? Is it Jalen Samuels? Is it Stephen Ridley? It could be Fitzgerald Toussaint, right? That's going to be an interesting thing to watch on Thursday. We've talked a lot about Damone Patterson, Tevin Jones. Where do those guys fit on the depth chart at this point? How early on in the game do they see time? Because with some of the injuries, with Juju, AB, you know, some of these guys going down now, you could see, I think, Damone Patterson and Tevin Jones seeing the field fairly early on in that game. That'll be interesting to watch as well. And then linebackers like Matthew Thomas, right? Where does he see the field and when? And then Marcus Allen, a guy who struggled to see the practice field. Does he get some time maybe in the third or fourth quarter of that game? I think that would be big for him, a guy who has, again, struggled to see the practice field, struggled to get reps. And, you know, if you're not getting reps, you can't make plays out there. So for Marcus Allen, it's going to be important for him to get on the field on Thursday night. And then let's go over that injury situation, because I know there's some growing concern among Steeler fans about this growing list of injured players. Let's talk about all of it. Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, Cam Hayward, they all returned from their day. They had Friday Night Lights off. They returned and practiced all weekend. So no injury concerns there for any of them. They're good to go. Marcus Gilbert, David DeCastro, given the day off on Sunday because the Steelers wanted to run goal line drills on Sunday. And Tomlin wanted to give some of the younger guys an opportunity in that drill with the starters. So they took out, they gave the day off to Marcus Gilbert and David DeCastro. Tomlin did confirm over the weekend that Bud Dupree does in fact have a concussion. Remember, he was in the concussion protocol. He does in fact have a concussion. I would expect that means extended time off for Bud Dupree. I mean, at least a week, right? He's going to miss likely the Eagles game, potentially more. And that opens the door for someone like Ola Dini or Keon Adams, or, you know, these young outside linebackers on this team that are fighting for spots. Not only are they going to get more reps because of this, they're going to get first-team reps now. Remember, T.J. Watt also injured. And so you've got Anthony Chiklow is going to be playing on one side, but Ola Dini and Keon Adams going to get their chance on the other. So this is a big opportunity for both of those guys. Joe Hayden missed the entire weekend with what Tomlin called a minor injury. No idea what the injury actually is. And, of course, Tomlin calling everything other than Ramon Foster's injury a minor injury here throughout camp, so no idea just how serious Joe Hayden's injury is. Cody Sensabaugh and Chucks Okorafor missed on Saturday's practice but did return to practice on Sunday. Juju re-aggravated his knee on Saturday, and so he missed Sunday's practice, but he was around at practice on Sunday taking pictures, so it seems like he will be good to go sooner rather than later. Brian Allen and Keon Adams both practiced on Saturday but missed Sunday as well, and that's really rough for Keon Adams again, as we just talked about with Bud Dupree being out, with TJ Watt being out. There's an opportunity for Keon to not just get more reps, but get more reps with that starting unit. Unfortunate that he had to miss because of injury. And then the other players that we've talked about all camp being hurt, Antonio Brown, TJ Watt, Vance McDonald, Marcus Tucker, all of those players remained out all weekend. TJ Watt was seen jogging throughout practice on both Saturday and Sunday, so hopefully he can be closer. He is closer to returning. At least that is the hope. Now, Mike Tomlin saying after practice on Sunday that he expects a lot of these guys, these quote day-to-day guys, to be back and ready to go for Tuesday's practice. The players have the day off on Monday, so the expectation is that a lot of those day-to-day guys will be back on Tuesday. You have to wonder, does that mean Antonio Brown's coming back, TJ Watt, Marcus Tucker, Joe Hayden, Juju? I mean, there's just so many of them. Hopefully we see the majority of those guys back for Tuesday's practice. With so many injuries, we did get to see some new rotations out there. Jamar Summers, the young cornerback who's been playing primarily on the third unit, got bumped all the way up to the starting unit. He got to play with the ones on Saturday. This was without Joe Hayden and without Cody Sensabaugh. The Steelers electing to put Jamar Summers there. Now remember, when Artie went down, it was Cam Sutton and Cody Sensabaugh that split reps with the first unit in place of Artie. This time, they elect not to go with Cam Sutton. He stayed with the second unit at nickel corner, and instead, it was Jamar Summers that came up and got those starting reps. A big opportunity for Jamar Summers. Now, I wouldn't read too much into the fact that the Steelers didn't elect to put Cam Sutton in that role. Again, Cam Sutton still such an important piece of this defense because he is so versatile. I think he's having a good camp. I think this was much more of the case where Tomlin wanted to see Jamar Summers in one of those uncomfortable positions that he likes to talk about. And certainly for a guy who's been playing primarily third unit the entirety of camp, for him to jump all the way up to that first unit, certainly a big opportunity for him. I don't think he had a spectacular day of practice. Again, it was without pads, so it's tough in those environments, but he didn't have a bad day of camp either. Quarterbacks were certainly looking his way. I think they certainly noticed him out there, but I don't think he had a bad day, just a great opportunity for Jamar Summers. Ola Adini, Keon Adams, Farrington Higuain, all splitting reps on Saturday opposite Anthony Ciccolo at outside linebacker. Again, that's in place of Bud Dupree. Without Keon Adams in there, it was just Farrington Higuain and Ola Adini splitting reps on Sunday. And again, on Sunday, there just weren't as many reps to go around, it being a shortened practice. Interesting thing happening at the inside linebacker spot. So John Bostic still getting the majority of the first team reps at inside linebacker. We're still seeing Matakevich rotate in a little bit there with Bostic. We're still seeing him rotate in with Vince Williams a little bit. So we're still seeing reps with Bostic and Matakevich on the field at the same time. But on the second unit, at this point, it's pretty much LJ Fort and Matthew Thomas. And so I think this is in an effort. Again, I wouldn't read into this as far as, oh, Matakevich is losing his spot and he could get cut or anything like that. I think this is much more of the case where Tomlin wants to see both LJ Fort and Matthew Thomas playing more reps. Again, wanting to see what we have from both of these guys. It's a very intense battle between those two players. I think LJ Fort continues to look good out there, but Matthew Thomas starting to look more and more comfortable. You know, the athleticism that they talked about with Matthew Thomas coming out of college, you're starting to see it now. I don't know that I saw it the first week of camp. And what happens with some of these players who come out of college, who are these kind of, you know, athletic freaks, right? You don't see it on the field early on because they're spending too much time thinking, right? And so the transition for those players from college to pros, it becomes a mental game, right? They have to learn the pro game. Instead of just going out there and playing football, they're thinking, they're trying to read and react. And instead, I think what you're seeing from Matthew Thomas now is a player who is much more comfortable and is a player who is showing that athleticism. And he is all over the field right now. He had a very good couple days of practice. Again, we only had 20 or 30 reps on Sunday. He was involved in a couple of them, and I thought he acquitted himself pretty well out there. So we just need to continue seeing that from Matthew Thomas, right? Again, Thursday is going to be a big day for him. He needs to continue having practice like this. But again, arrow pointing up for me, for Matthew Thomas. We got our chance to see the dollar defense from the Pittsburgh Steelers again, but this time it was with the starting unit, and it was with a healthy Sean Davis and a healthy Morgan Burnett. So we have a much better idea of how the Steelers are going to deploy this seven defensive back scheme with a starting unit. Here's what it looked like. Outside corner, it was Artie Burns and Jamar Summers. Now, you have to assume with Joe Hayden healthy, he would take the place. So let's say it will be Artie Burns and Joe Hayden on your outside corners. At inside slot corner, it was Mike Hilton. Here's where it gets interesting. At free safety, Sean Davis. At strong safety, Terrell Edmonds, not Morgan Burnett. Terrell Edmonds is your strong safety. And then in the box, you have both Morgan Burnett and Cam Sutton. So those are your seven defensive backs the Steelers are putting on the field. Again, it's Joe Hayden, Artie Burns, Terrell Edmonds, Sean Davis, Mike Hilton, Morgan Burnett, Cam Sutton are your seven defensive backs in a dollar scheme. Now, when you include into that the assumed starting four on the defensive line, which would be Bud Dupree, Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, and TJ Watt, well, now you can start to see what the Steelers are thinking there, because I think you can make a strong argument that those 11 players we just named are the best 11 players talent-wise on this entire defense. Now, I know you can't play the dollar, you know, in a straight-up first and 10 type situation, right? But the question does become, if those are your best 11 guys, in what situations and how often can you use that formation? Again, it is your best 11 out there. Is this going to be a primarily third and long type of defense, or are there situations where the Steelers feel comfortable playing those 11 guys, you know, in a second and long or something like that? I'm going to be very interested to see in what situations the Steelers go to that defense. The drill of the day on Saturday was the two-minute drill. The Steelers practicing a hurry-up offense. First, with Ben Roethlisberger, he was out there with Damone Patterson, Tevin Jones, and James Washington. So all three of those young guys getting a chance to run with Ben Roethlisberger. Again, largely that was due to some of the injuries at the position. Again, Antonio Brown not practicing. Juju had re-aggravated his knee injury by that part of practice. And Darius Heyward-Bey not practicing as well. Of course, Marcus Tucker not practicing. So the Steelers were very thin at wide receiver really all weekend. But again, you know, Ben able to practice with those young guys, didn't miss a beat. I mean, he was so efficient down the field, finishes with a leaping grab to James Washington. James Washington making another one of those combat catches, something that is becoming routine for him at this point in camp. Really a great stretch of practices for James Washington. He had a couple great catches in the end zone on Saturday. Ben finishes that drill 5 of 7 for 52 yards and a touchdown. And the other guy that stood out in that drill was Tevin Jones. He had three catches for like 40 yards in that drill. He was very good over the middle of the field. So good on both James Washington and Tevin Jones coming up big in that 2 minutes. Dobbs was up next. He had a pretty efficient early part of his drive, and then he tried to run it in at one point. He scrambled out and tried to run it into the end zone, and Tomlin was having none of that. Again, they were running without pads on Saturday, so there was no live tackling at all, but certainly no hitting of the quarterback. And Tomlin basically said, Dobbs, I'm not letting you get away with that. Go back and do it again. He couldn't convert then and lost out on fourth down, finishing the drill 3 of 6 for 39 yards. Finally, it was Mason Rudolph in the two-minute drill, and he really looked like he was in his element. You know, he must have felt at home out there in the two-minute drill running a hurry-up style of offense. Remember, Oklahoma State runs a pretty up-tempo offense themselves. He was 5 of 6 for 52 yards, a touchdown to Jalen Samuels over the middle. Jalen Samuels covered by Matt Galambos, who really had no chance, both covering Jalen Samuels and then trying to catch him after the catch. Overall, I just feel like Mason Rudolph is getting more comfortable the past couple days. You know, he went through that kind of rut the first couple days of practice, or after the first couple days, where, you know, I felt like he wasn't trusting his reads and he was trying to force the ball to James Washington on too many occasions. Now, I think he's putting a nice touch on his throws. We saw that again during Sunday's practice on a corner route to Jesse James, where he floated it in beautifully. Matthew Thomas was in coverage. Nat Burr was coming over from a free safety position. And yet, it was so easy for Jesse to make that catch because of the beautiful ball placement Again, you're seeing those glimpses again, but I don't think they're glimpses anymore. I think you're starting to see, you know, Mason Rudolph get more comfortable out there. And then the drill of the day Sunday, the goal line drill, the Steelers wanting to get in some reps from the goal line. This is a little different than seven shots. In that seven shots, they usually are lined up in like a shotgun formation and the spreading the defense out wide, and they're usually throwing the ball. This was more about lining up, you know, three tight ends, I formation, fullback in the game, and handing the ball off. Now, the first rep of seven shots was not a handoff. It was actually a fade route to Xavier Grimble in the corner of the end zone, and he made a wonderful catch in the corner of the end zone using his strength to go over Vince Williams to bring the ball in. Vince had tight coverage. I mean, he had his arm in his face, hand on the ball, but still, Grimble able to bring it in, bring it down, get 2 feet in. Now, interesting part of this play is that when Grimble goes to the ground, after he hits the ground, he kind of loses the ball. But because of the new catch rule, and the two referees there kind of went over and talked about it, they ruled it a touchdown. Now, they're not NFL refs. The NFL refs were only there, I think, last week between like Wednesday and Friday. But still, these two referees on hand ruled it a touchdown. It's interesting what this new catch rule is going to be, because this is clearly one that, in given the old rule, would have been ruled no catch. I mean, when Grimble hit the ground, he still had possession, but it did come out. And so all the defense is saying, no, it's not a catch. But under the new catch rule, seems like that might be a catch. So interesting that already in training camp, we are seeing instances of this new catch rule. Now, for the rest of the drill, the defense really dominated. I think there was one more rep where James Conner ran in up the middle, but otherwise, Tyler Matakevich doing a great job of getting to the outside, stopping James Conner from turning the corner. LJ Fort did a great job up the middle, and Jordan Dangerfield stopping Jalen Samuels in the backfield for like a 3-yard loss as he tried to bounce it outside, and Jordan Dangerfield saying no thank you. Overall, I really like the defense's mentality in that drill. They were very vocal, not just the players on the field, but the players off the field encouraging the defense. You can see that this defense is taking pride in how successful they have been throughout camp, gaining some confidence, even though it's just training camp, and it's silly to say that a defense is gaining confidence in training camp, but I mean, you can see it out there. I mean, they clearly are, and I think they are taking pride in how well they're doing. Now, as I said before, the players have the day off tomorrow. They will return for practice on Tuesday, but I am not off here on Locked On Steelers. I'm going to do another mini mailbag. So if you guys have questions that you want answered here on Locked On Steelers, let me know. SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter. Ask me there @SteelerCountry on Twitter. And I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.